You're listening to Green Biz Radio, the voice of greenbiz.com, bringing you news and analysis on business, the environment, and the bottom line.
For Green Biz Radio, I'm Tilde Herrera. Motivated employees can make the difference between success and failure for corporate initiatives that revolve around environmental stewardship or the broader concept of sustainability. While researching a story on the topic several weeks ago, I met Judah Schiller. He's the Executive Vice President of Saatchi & Saatchi S, a company that was hired by Walmart to create a culture of sustainability within its 1.3 million strong workforce. Judah recently joined Green Biz Radio to talk about the tools used to engage Walmart's employees, as well as to offer advice to companies looking for ways to inspire their workers to carry forward sustainability efforts.
Good morning, Judah. So why don't you start by telling us a little bit about yourself and your company and the services that you provide?
Sure. So my name is Judah Schiller. I'm the Executive Vice President of Saatchi & Saatchi S, which is an amazing new organization that was born out of the acquisition of Acnow Productions, which was founded by Adam Werbach, who was the youngest president of the Sierra Club. It was founded about 10 years ago now. And really what we are is a combination of a consulting firm and agency in the realm of sustainability. And so we work with a lot of some of the world's largest companies as well as organizations to help them achieve their sustainability goals and really define a path for them into really uncharted territory. And as a company, our approach has always been providing a trifecta of services around sustainability. So it's a combination of the high-level macro strategy, the sustainability visioning and design, the change management, and the operational technical piece. And then we've got this really interesting niche that not many companies seem to be doing right now, which is this, you know, HR meets sustainability. And that's really where we go in and we work with the employee population of large companies and really create cultures of sustainability within the organization so that everyone within the organization is aligned, everything and everyone is firing on all cylinders and really driving to meet the, you know, the North Star of the organization. And then finally, we do the creative work, so the sustainable brand strategy, green marketing, external communications, and that's an area that, again, you know, we've got a long lot of expertise in the green marketplace, and so we're really able to provide unique services in that area.
Now, how does the company define sustainability?
That's a great question. You know, obviously, we always look to the Brundtland Commission. And, you know, sort of the traditional definitions of sustainability are nice, but they're good for what they are. For us, sustainability has always meant something more personal. It's a 14-letter, six-syllable word. Not many people know what it means. Certainly the mass consumer base doesn't know what it means. And so for us, we've always been striving to make sustainability something that's fun, easy to digest, accessible to everybody, man or woman, old or young, regardless of ethnicity or religion or political orientation. And for us, it's about securing our dreams for tomorrow without sacrificing today. And it's really, you know, that's really the thrust of it, is keeping sustainability something simple. We believe that the sustainability needs to be defined much broader than the traditional environmental sustainability. So for us, we have four different streams of sustainability. We have, you know, the environment, we have economics, we have a social component, and a cultural component. And so our approach really focuses on, yes, you know, the environment matters, but honestly, a lot of people come to sustainability because of health and wellness, because of, you know, their own financial interests. So for a variety of different reasons, and actually, you know, as we talked about earlier, you know, saving the trees isn't really the primary one. People, obviously, you know, they have their daily needs in life. People have families, and they have homes, and they need money to get to work every day and gas to put in their cars. And so that's how we try and frame up sustainability and make it much broader and much more accessible than traditional definitions or approaches.
Now, the company's signature sustainability offering is the Personal Sustainability Project. What is this, and how did it evolve?
Great question. So the Personal Sustainability Project, or PSP for short, came out of a phone call that Andy Rubin, who was the VP of Sustainability for Walmart Stores, Inc., and has since left that position a couple months ago, but really one of the leaders in sustainability for a long period of time working with Walmart. And he had approached Adam Werbach probably sometime in 2005 and really wanted to work with Adam and see if he could help, you know, figure out, you know, this people piece. You know, Walmart has 1.3 million associates just in the United States alone. And how could we engage the people to really create a culture of sustainability within Walmart? And in 2006, the summer of 2006, we started working and agreed to work with Walmart, which was a big decision to make. A lot of us had been outspoken against Walmart for many years, and Adam certainly was a vocal critic of Walmart. But we saw the opportunity, and the opportunity was really quite immense if you think about it. What if you could touch 1.3 million people with sustainability and speak to them directly? And so that's how we decided to work with Walmart. And we knew from the beginning that PSP, this personal sustainability project, needed to be something that was grassroots. It's impossible to speak directly to 1.3 million people. We needed to have a really effective train-the-trainer model. And so that was the approach. And we started building and really working with the Walmart associates. And by that, I mean really the cashiers, the truckers, the assistant managers in the stores, hourly associates, and really listening to them. And understanding what were their aspirations and what were their challenges and what mattered to them in life and how did they see sustainability, how did they want to relate to sustainability. And so that's how we began to build a really grassroots, authentic project within Walmart, and that's something that we do for every one of our clients, is really listening to the people and building it from the ground up. One of the other primary features of PSP is that it's voluntary. So, no, you can't make anybody be green or, as we say, be blue, and that's sort of the color we ascribe to sustainability now is blue because we feel it's more expansive than traditional green. And how do you can't make somebody do that. So how can we actually inspire people to want to learn more and want to do more and embrace sustainability within their daily lives? And so it was over the course of almost 9 months of piloting and scaling up and testing our systems and, again, always going back to the associates and checking in with them. Is this authentic to you and to Walmart? And, you know, helping them to see that, you know, they're the ones who are in the best position to make decisions in their local communities, not consultants and not executives in Bentonville, but people in local communities. And then finally, in March of 2007, we rolled out nationally and delivered over 120 PSP workshops across the country to really touching the, if you can imagine, the top of the tip of the iceberg, the tip of the pyramid for the Walmart organization. And then they would go back after a day of learning with us and then, you know, teach and enroll and inspire 10 more people. And then those 10 people would then go and enroll and inspire the other 400 or 500 people in every store. You know, it's 4,000 stores across America. And after that, we've always been supporting them with a variety of communication tools from video and print and web and a whole slew of different resources, and really working with them every step of the way, building this with them over the past year. And right now in 2008, we're actually doing a deeper dive into health and wellness, which again, in the sustainability context, the large percentage of the Walmart population really took to this out of health and wellness, seeing what they consumed on a daily basis, exercise, how that tied into consumption of resources. A good example I always like to give is, you know, if you're eating a lot of fast food, well, that's a lot of fat and sodium, but then you think about, you know, how much paper and cardboard and plastic goes into packaging and wrapping the food that you eat, and then the garbage that comes out after that. And so when you put that to somebody who eats a lot of fast food and said, what if you prepared a meal once or twice a week? And so you can both have an effect on your personal health, you're eating healthier, but that you can also have an impact on the environment. You're consuming less and you're using less and you're wasting more. You're wasting less. So that's how we tie that in. And so we're doing a deeper dive in 2008 and then also touching on financial sustainability. So how can we help people have greater financial health in their lives and really better able to support themselves? And then also community and outreach. So I think you'll see a lot of amazing things come out of Walmart in the latter half of the summer around outreach and volunteerism.
Now, what did you learn from creating and trying to implement this approach?
That's a loaded question. I think every one of us here at Saatchi & Saatchi S was really blown away by what happened with PSB, and not the least of which was, you know, Adam and myself and our other partner, Dave Stoyer, and the other folks here. You know, PSP really continues to show a great deal of promise, and I'll leave it at that. It's really a unique tool within the employee engagement arena, and you know, we learned that you know, when you talk to you know, any large group of people, you know, they're the ones with the answers. You know, whenever you've got a bunch of people sitting around a conference room table, you're only going to get as much as the minds in that room have to offer. And that's really the thrust of PSP, and that's why it's really a compelling tool within an organization to use, is that it's based on distributed problem solving. And so we had this problem and this challenge of creating a sustainable Walmart, and that was not something that, you know, we could ever have achieved if it was just, you know, even the brightest minds that we would bring in to sit around a table. But we've got so many ideas from the Walmart associates in Arkansas, in Nebraska, in California, in Texas, all across the country. And that's really what we learned, is that this actually is much bigger than us.
And how do you measure success?
So a variety of ways. Obviously, every organization, of course, Walmart as well, wants to know what's the effect of PSP, both in terms of the bottom line and the top line. So we had a tracking tool, an online tracking tool that we used, so that every store could actually report their progress in terms of their individual accomplishments and also their collective accomplishments. So some of the things we looked at was weight loss. Walmart as a whole, you know, has some health issues, some health challenges that they're trying to solve. And through personal sustainability, collectively, Walmart associates lost almost 200,000 pounds
Wow.
of weight. So that was one area that we really were interested in seeing. And also smoking. Almost 20,000 associates quit or reduced their smoking habit, their consumption. So, you know, those are really big numbers. When you punch some of those numbers in into sort of national statistics, you know, the savings to an organization like Walmart is in, you know, I think that the smoking alone was over $30 million in savings. And then, of course, there's the savings to the associates who, you know, gave up some of their smoking. That has a financial impact on them as well. We also looked at exercise. We looked to recycling. And then we also did some interesting work with, in October, Walmart was really pushing, obviously, the sales of CFL light bulbs, also working with compacted Tide and pure water filters, so with P&G and General Electric, and really seeing if you can take up 1.3 million people and create a powerful sales force for sustainability. Can we move the needle forward on sustainable product sales? And so that was another area where we actually saw great results. That, you know, when you come to the associates and you ask them, which products do you feel passionate about getting behind? And they felt passionate about these three products, the compacted Tide, the pure water filter, and the CFL bulbs, as all being sort of emblematic of sustainability, at least where we are right now. They actually got a very nice lift in their sales, and that was something that everybody was proud about. And that's frankly what needs to happen. Consumer demand needs to drive the manufacturers of consumer packaged goods to innovate faster, to innovate more. And that's how we'll see more of these sustainable products hit the shelves.
Now, what about resistance? Did you face resistance, and how did you overcome it?
So, by and large, the resistance was minimal, and that's, you know, tangible resistance. Now, you can imagine, in every organization, you're going to have a bell curve. You're going to have some people at one end of the curve who are extremely passionate, very excited, really want to, you know, embrace personal sustainability and go out of their way to be a part of it. Then you've got, you know, the rest of the population who are, you know, are happy about it, they're enthusiastic about it, they want to participate. And then you've got the tail end in every store and every facility or office that, you know, for one reason or another, they're not ready to walk through the door of personal sustainability quite yet. And that's natural. In terms of resistance, we saw a little bit in a few pockets across America where people were really already practicing a lot around sustainability. They were already recycling. They were already composting. And so for them it was, okay, it's nice that Walmart is doing this, but we've already been doing this for 20 years. And so that was actually an opportunity for us to come to them and say, you know, fantastic, can you help us to lead this? So that's how we were able to overcome that resistance. And then at the organizational level, so more at the corporate level, you know, this has been a big period of change for the Walmart organization. So I don't know if I would call it resistance necessarily. I think people are cautious. A lot of people's livelihoods are at stake, and every decision and really every word that comes out of the executives at Walmart has an effect, either on suppliers or literally on people's lives. And so some people tend to be cautious, but I think at this point now, PSP is really core to the culture and core to the business of Walmart.
Now, how is PSP different from other sustainability approaches or frameworks, such as the Natural Step, for instance?
Yeah, well, I mean, in the large picture, PSP being a completely bottom-up, grassroots, viral framework differs from just about every traditional top-down sort of check-the-box engagement program that's ever been created. So implementing something viral within an organization and using the tools to do that is something pretty new. Natural Step is fantastic. I mean, I'm a big fan of the Natural Step. I think where this is different is that in terms of the communications, certainly there's a greater degree of simplicity and just, you know, the approach that we created at Saatchi & Saatchi S is just markedly different than the Natural Step, and it's something that if you go to our website, you can really read a lot more about PSP and really what it looks like and what it feels like.
Now, let's take a step back. What lessons can a company manager or, say, a small business owner take from all of this if they're looking for ways to engage their employees to embrace the sustainability or green initiatives? What are the key ingredients here?
It's a good question. So I think the first place is to look outside. There's such an abundance of resources, certainly on Green Biz and in a variety of websites, just to educate oneself about what's the current trends within sustainability, what are some of these great tools and resources, even coming to our website and just looking at what is PSP and what is a bottom-up program look like. I think that's a great place to start for a manager or an owner of a small business. I think sitting down and really setting out on paper what are the organization's, three goals? What are we trying to accomplish here? Because the whole point of engaging your people is to, of course you want it to benefit them personally, but you also want them to be aligned with organizational goals and to be, playing a vital role in driving towards those goals. So, sitting out what is my company's North Star? Where do I want to be in 3 years, in 5 years? And asking, what if? What is the dream state for my company? Is it being a zero-waste company? Is it being, fueled by 100% renewable energy? Whatever it might be, ask yourself, what if? And that, I think, is really some of the best thinking that can be done from the onset. And then, again, green or sustainability or blue, as we call it, you can't force anybody to change, and that's a surefire way to turn people off. Make it voluntary. Find a way to inspire your people, and if they're inspiring their people, it's a great leadership test. Can you inspire your people to follow this new vision and walk this walk of sustainability? And then also to attend conferences, go out there. There's so much going on. There's such amazing thinking and really, amazing people out there with a lot to share and who want to share. And so there's certainly no lack of help out there.
And what are the low-hanging fruit here?
The low-hanging fruit in terms of a small business or in terms of large organizations? In a small business, sure. I mean, that's one thing is to find somebody within your office who's the most passionate person around sustainability, around the environment, or health and wellness. Walk the office with that person and just look around top to bottom. Are people printing out on both sides of the paper? Look at the margins. I mean, there was one statistic, which I don't have at the top of my head, but if we just narrowed our margins, by I think like a half an inch nationwide, we'd save millions and millions and millions of trees. I mean, small things that when you think about it have a very massive effect on the large scale. Look at your light bulbs. Look at, where is your garbage going? How big is the garbage can under your employee's desk? Can you make that garbage can smaller? What if you made it smaller? Where would people throw their garbage? Maybe they wouldn't have so much garbage. There's all sorts of things that you can just look at as you walk the office. And then obviously you can go farther and look at, you know, the transportation needs of your employees. What if, you know, people actually worked from home once in a while, and what kind of impact that would have? Going over travel plans, can trips be consolidated? There's lots of low-hanging fruit out there.
Now, you talked about the importance of making initiatives voluntary. What else don't you do? What don't you do to turn people off from embracing these sort of initiatives?
Yeah, I think, you certainly don't compel them. You don't have it be check the box, because that really doesn't fuel innovative thinking. You have to also respect people's lives, and you have to be aware of how much time you're asking them to allocate to this. So, you want your sustainability effort to be sustainable in and of itself. So this is a long distance race, as you've heard before, and it really is. So thinking about, how can I make sure that my valued employees, really the core of my organization, are in this for the long haul. You don't want to stifle people's ideas. You want to bring everybody to the table, so you want to have mechanisms where, people can offer their ideas and have their ideas respected and really looked at appropriately. You don't want to, depending on the size of the organization, and really a small business can be quite a large number of people, you don't want to be caught off guard and not have the systems to process the, really hundreds of ideas that will ripple out from across the employee population. So you can't think that you're going to roll something out and, that it will carry itself forward. You really ought to think about who's going to be the shepherd, who's going to, project manage all of these ideas, all of those sorts of things. So some planning needs to go into this.
Is there anything that you would like to add, Judah?
No, I think that this is, we're always looking for ideas, and we're always looking for, we're looking for advice from either, organizations or NGOs, or, we always look to nature for the best advice. And this is a joint effort. And so, I always like it when, I frequently get phone calls from people and organizations across the country and really across the world just asking about PSP. And I really encourage that. And I'm always happy to share some of my ideas. And I think that this is really a way where, the employee is boss. And, look at the working world, and if we can really leverage, our collective strengths and touch employees across this country and across the world, what will change, and how will that impact our lives and the world around us? And so this is really, a collective effort.
Well, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thanks very much.
You've been listening to Green Biz Radio. For the latest daily news on business, the environment, and the bottom line, and to sign up for our free newsletters, visit greenbiz.com.